Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What's It Mean to Deny Yourself and Hate Your Life?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to look with you at some very strange words that Jesus spoke in the Scriptures. Words like that you should hate yourself, hate your own life, deny yourself, take up your cross, and lose your life if you would be my disciple. Doesn't that seem strange? It seems the opposite of what you think we should do as a Christian. If we want to live, we ought to find our life, not lose it. But Jesus has good words for us, great words of his kingdom, and these very strange words he gives us in the Scriptures. So let's take a look at these today and see what he would teach us about them for our encouragement in the faith. These are marvelous words. First, let's just start by reading some of these passages, and then we'll see if we can explain and understand them. First of all, Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will find it." If you look over here at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says something similar. He says, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it." If we look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26, he says it again, something similar. He says, "If anyone would come after me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And then one more, John chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus says there, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Doesn't that seem strange to you? My message to you today is, hate your life. Hate yourselves. Deny yourselves. Lose your lives if you would be Christians. Well, that's what Jesus is preaching us to us very clearly in his word. But the question is, what does he mean by these things? What does he mean by hating our own selves, hating our own life, denying ourselves, losing our lives? Do you think these are good words or bad words? What do you say?
Good.
Good, right? Well, let's take a look and why they're good. How could these words be good? I mean, we want to really save our lives, don't we? Well, let's consider hating yourself, that is, denying yourself. Do you think that means, do you think Jesus is meaning that you should have a venomous hatred toward yourself, just totally beat up on yourself, despise yourself all the time, discourage yourself, and just say, I hate me, and just be totally miserable for the rest of your life? Is that what he says? That's not what he's after. How do we know that? As he says in one of the passages, the second commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So he acknowledges that there is a love of self that is for that everybody has. Secondly, we know that he's the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. He lifts up the downtrodden. He saves the crushed in spirit. He doesn't want you to be discouraged and miserable for your whole life. And we have this word in Paul. He says, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I'll say, rejoice. So obviously, it can't mean that you should just be totally on yourself, destroying yourself daily. That can't mean what it means to hate and deny yourself, hating your life. How about hating your life? Does that mean you should never have any joy? Never have any thrill or excitement about the good things that God has given you in this world to have for a time? Obviously not, because Peter says in his letter, he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, etc. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. So you can actually love life. You can enjoy the life that God's given you. So that can't mean what it means to hate your life. How about denying yourself? Does that mean you can't ever do anything you want to do? You think? No, because remember when David wanted to build the temple, Nathan the prophet came and said to him, go and do all that's in your heart, for the Lord's with you. There are good things that God has given us to want to do. We don't have to deny everything we ever want to do. Can't mean that. And also, how about losing your life? Do you think that means just kill yourself, commit suicide, throw in the towel, take out a gun and shoot yourself? That can't mean what he's talking about. Why? For he said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. He doesn't want you to go and just off yourself, kill yourself. He must mean something else by these things. So what does he mean? Well, let's consider here, I think the key to these passages are, what does he mean by the word hate? Because hate is a very strong word. We need to hate our lives. We need to hate our own even parents as we read. Let's read about that in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 26 again. If any man comes to me, verse 26, if any man comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what's that mean, do you think? That we should just grit our teeth against our parents and set our face against them and rebel against them because we hate them so much? Is that what Jesus is teaching? How can that be so? How can that not be so? Because we're supposed to, Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So hate, in this case, is the word meseo in the Greek, which can mean to hate with an aggressive hatred and hostility. But it also, interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, can also mean to not prefer, to not choose. In other words, to not set your parents up above the proper position that God has for them in your heart. And also, you're not to set yourself up above the proper position that yourself is supposed to be in your heart. So now, let's take a look at what is Jesus talking about. What is the proper position of things? First of all, if you have a throne in your heart, just picture that right now. You have a throne in your heart. Who belongs on that throne? God, right? The big G right here. God is at the top. Who comes second? The first commandment is, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor, that's the N right here, as thyself. So where does self come in the heart? It's supposed to be, in terms of priority, it's supposed to be number three. Because what does Jesus say? Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So self has to come underneath your friends and your neighbors, your parents, your father, your mother, your sisters, etc. And your father and mother and sisters, etc., can't come above God. So to hate your parents and to hate yourself means they've got to be in the proper position. What Jesus is calling us to here is single-hearted devotion to the Lord, loyalty to him, where God is on the throne of your heart, number one. What is it, though, if we were to take, for example, let's say our parents or our neighbors or something, and set them up here above God? What have we made our neighbors into? An American idol. Idol, right? Yeah, American idol. What happens if we take the self and we put it up here above God? It's become, again, an idol. And actually, putting the self above God is the root of every evil in this world. Think of it. Every wickedness and greed of man is from his envy of his neighbor. He wants to be above God and above his neighbor, setting self as on the throne of one's heart, and thereby destroying everything in the proper order of things, bringing all evil into the world. How do we know that this is a proper interpretation of these verses? Well, let's take a look over here at Matthew chapter 10. If I have that one open here, there it is. Matthew 10, 37. This is a very similar passage. See if you can hear how the word hate doesn't necessarily mean hate. It means to not prefer or choose, or to love in a more than it should be. 10, 37. Jesus says this. 10, verse 37, he says, He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's the same stuff. Hating your father and mother means don't love them more than you love me, putting the N above the G, the neighbor above your God. The point here Jesus is saying is if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to have God over your neighbor. You've got to have God over yourself. Self has to come last. That doesn't mean yourself isn't important or that you can't love yourself or love the life God's given you, but you can't set it above God. He's got to be number one. Let's take a look at an example of that in the scriptures. I could look at the Old Testament and see this actually played out. Remember the story in the book of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And they were friends of Daniel's, remember? And the king made this 90-foot golden idol statue that everybody was to bow down to when they heard the sound of the music. But there were certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that refused to do so. And the word came to the king, and the king, bring those men here. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't worship my gods or worship the golden image which I've set up? Now, if when you hear the sound of the music, you're willing to bow down and worship it, well and good. But if not, you shall be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Now, do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved their lives? Yeah, sure, they wanted to live. That's okay. But did they love their lives more than they loved God? Answer, no. Because what did they answer the king? Well, they said, King, we will not bow down and worship that golden image which you've set up. Our God's able to deliver us. And even if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not bow down and worship. Because they served God first. That's what it is to hate your life. Namely, you can enjoy your life, love the life God's given you, even love yourself, but not above your neighbor and not above God. You got to be willing to die for the Lord, number one. You guys willing to do that? You know, the days could come in our world when we might have to seal our testimony with our own blood, as the scripture says, and love not our lives even unto death and conquer the devil by giving our lives for the Lord. In fact, we want to live out that every day, don't we? Live out our lives humbling ourselves, keeping them in the proper position underneath our neighbor and underneath God. And this is the big problem God has with mankind, isn't it? Because what does mankind do? All of mankind, the kingdom of the world, does what? It takes the self, exalts the self. In fact, you could just basically take away the rest of the board here. They're not worried about God and neighbor. It's self and self alone that the world is after. Self on top. So where does that all come from, do you think? It really comes from a very bad guy, the devil. We hear of this, of the devil, in Isaiah chapter 14 in the Bible. This was his origin, as I take it, in Isaiah 14. God said to him, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God, setting himself up there. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The devil sought to exalt himself above the throne of God. I'll be king. I'll be God. And what happened to him? Down he fell. Because the exalting of the self, the wrecking of this order, is the destruction of all things and brings every evil. And he went down on account of it. He brought the angels down with him, a third of them anyway. The angels didn't keep their proper position, says Jude. Their proper position. This is the position we need. But they didn't keep that. They left their proper dwelling and have been kept by him in eternal chains in the nether gloom until the judgment of the great day. So demons fell into this. The devil, at his own suggestion, fell into this. And man falls into this. What was the very first sin that Satan came and tempted the people with? Was to exalt the self over everything else. Because Satan came to the woman and said, if you eat the forbidden fruit, you're not going to die. God's lying to you. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. You will be up where he is. Don't be content with this position, this low. He's holding out on you. set yourself up on top, and then you're going to be great. You'll be free. You'll really have life then. What happened? They did that when they ate, and down they went into imprisonment, evil, and death. And that's really the way the world is today, isn't it? Think about the world today. Is it the exalting of God or the exalting of self? Self, absolutely. I mean, think of it. You've got this. You go to the bookstore or the TV or the advertisements and everything. You hear of self-esteem all the time. Oh, you're precious. Self-esteem. We need to watch after that self-esteem. You don't have enough of it. Maybe you got too much. Self-esteem, self-gratification, self-indulgence, self-help books, self-confidence, self-glory. You even have a magazine called Self. Right? Number one, self is number one. You think of this, it's even in churches, isn't it? Now, I haven't read these books, and I'm not going to totally condemn this because I haven't read the books, but, you know, I'm a little concerned. Alarm bells going off when I hear of Joel Osteen's books. Listen to these words. These are his titles. Become a better you. You can, you will. 8 undeniable qualities of a winner. The power of I am. It's your time, your best life now. Starting your best life now. Your best life now for moms. Your best life now study guide. Your best life now journal. Doesn't that sound a bit kind of like self to you? I haven't read the books, so I can't totally give a final word on those things. But we know that in the very last days, it is said in 2 Timothy 3:3, this is going to be the chief characteristic of the very last days of this world. Paul says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self. There it is, exalting it. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, etc. Swollen with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So they're exalting it there again, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. And Paul says, avoid such people. Therefore, Jesus' words there, which were stern back then and mighty, are still proclaimed today and must from the church be proclaimed. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, bring it off that throne, and put it at the bottom, and humble himself, right? And take up his cross daily and follow me. You got to kill your own sinful desires. We have sinful desires in our bodies that want to go after wickedness. You got to deny those things and set God on the top. And his word, he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life, puts it down here, he will save it. Have you done these things? Amen. I believe you have. I mean, what do we have to do? We repent of our sins. We humble ourselves, we destroy our self-righteousness, we say, by God's law, yeah, I have sinned. I've fallen short of your glory, God. I am just an empty-handed beggar coming to you, God, for mercy. You're on top, you're number one, you're the king, you're my God, be my Savior. And God's like, fantastic, I love it. Now that you've brought yourself low, humbled yourself and come to me, I forgive you all your sins. And he who humbles himself, the Bible says, soon God will exalt to the very high position, just as Jesus gave himself humbly to the cross and God exalted him. And I can see how this works out even in my own life, how I became a pastor and I'm standing before you today to preach the word of God to you. Do you know? It was this order and these words because I used to be, as you know, sailing schooners and tall ships up there in Maine and I loved it. I loved that life. And it would have been okay to continue to do that, but I wrestled, should it be captain or pastor? Captain or pastor? I came across a passage in Scripture where Jesus, after he was raised, remember Peter is out on the boat and he's fishing all night. He comes ashore because he sees it's Jesus on the shore. And Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? What is the these there? Do you think that was the other disciples? Some people say so. I always took it to mean, do you love me more than all this, Peter? Than your fishing? Than being outdoors? Than being on the sea? Than all this outdoor life that you grew up with and love so much? Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. I kind of felt like God said the same thing to me. Greg, I know you love all the sea and these things, and that's fine, but do you love me more than you love these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. And here I am. On account of that, I'm standing before you to do it. So God led me to where I am today by saying, love me first, and then I'll give you your life. And frankly, it's so much better than if I were a pastor, a captain, up there. In fact, those boats aren't even running during the coronavirus, but I'm still preaching. Amen. And then you also, one more thing, is you have neighbor over self. We want to go after humbly serving our neighbor first. Greater love has no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And I think of a story of Naomi with this. When she was 9 years old, she went to a Christian concert, Sanctus Real, if you've heard of that band, in Orlando at a really huge mega church, thousands of people. And she loved this band. And at the end of their tour, they had this big balloon that they brought with them as a mascot through all their tour. And finally, at the end, they gave it away to somebody. Who do you think got the balloon? Naomi. And she was so amazed. Out of all the thousands of people, she got the balloon, the cherished balloon. On her way out of church that day, she passed in the great crowds a person 2 years older, maybe 11 years old, who was a paraplegic, who was maybe muscular dystrophy, who was in a wheelchair, a girl just a little older than she was, couldn't move a muscle. Naomi's like, here, take the balloon. And the person's face just lit up with all brightness and joy. And that was amazing because it was saying, neighbor comes above myself. And that is what the kingdom of Christ is all about. Because this is what pleases God. This order is true love. Say the words true love. True love. It means I love God first. That's true love in all things. And that sets everything in the right position. And then your neighbor over yourself is true love, and it brings brightness to everybody in the kingdom. So when God tells us to go down, go low with yourself, he's not saying, I want you dead, or your old self dead, yes, but I want to give you life. I want to give you freedom. You enter into my kingdom, which is true love, and you'll be truly free, and you'll truly have life. And this is what Jesus did for us. Amen? Amen. He, when the devil took him up to the top of the mountain, he said, all these things, all the kingdoms of the world, I'll give you if you worship me. Set yourself on high, Jesus. No way. Be gone, Satan, he said. For it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Even going to the cross, he says, not my will, but thine be done, O Lord. And he went and humbled himself and became obedient unto death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him above everything, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, this week, let's consider how you might set God over your neighbor and over yourself, and then feel your spirit soar. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ is true love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What's It Mean to Deny Yourself and Hate Your Life? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday. And during Advent in December, worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, covering the book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, please go to our website at Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.